first case in our calendar is 97-13-28, Simmons Brothers, Inc. versus Roger Tracy Tax Commission. Mr. Clevenger.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. I'd like to reserve, if I may, 10 minutes for Roger. May I please report? Basic facts, this case are not related to issue. Simmons Brothers is engaged in recycling scrap metal, which it purchases from various manufacturers in terms of recycling that metal into a product which it subsequently sells to steel mills and foundries. And they recycle the product in such a way that they must achieve a certain density, a certain chemistry of that product in order for it to be usable by the steel mills and by the foundries. The basic issue in this case is whether or not certain cranes and the electromagnets attached to those cranes, which are used in the mixing and blending operations, are exempt from the imposition of use tax for two separate audit periods. The first audit period I'll refer to as the pre-1990, which is the direct use of manufacturing exemption. Effective July 1, 1990, that exemption was substantially amended by the Iowa Assembly, and that will also be an issue in this case today. As I said, the issue involved, whether it's pre-1990 or post-1990, is whether or not the cranes were used in an exempt fashion. In other words, whether the cranes were used during and in the manufacturing operation. And the board's determination, which I believe should be the focus of the inquiry, on this point is found on page 11 of the board's decision. And therefore found that the primary uses to which the cranes are put were devoted to the following: to separate scrap materials into piles, to load scrap materials into baler, shearer, to gather these types of scrap together, and to load scrap metal onto trucks for delivery to its customers. Unfortunately, what the board failed to find in its decision was that during all of these activities, the cranes were used to mix and blend all of the various scrap materials.
Well, the mixing and the blending, didn't it actually occur in the containers, and the cranes brought the material together and put the material into the containers that sheared or mixed the material, but the cranes didn't actually do that, did they?
It is correct that when the materials were put into the baler and the shearer, that there was further mixing and blending. The testimony below, the leads were clear that the cranes and the electromagnets attached to the cranes were actually used to mix, blend the raw materials together prior to the time they were placed in the shearer or prior to the time they were placed in the bales. It wasn't just picking one raw material up and putting it into the shearer and another raw material and putting it in. They had to be blended to a certain consistency just before they were put into those particular machines.
They weren't mixed out in the yard. In other words, the cranes didn't move different types of material into a pile in the yard that was going to go into the baler, did they? In other words, they didn't take material that was in a pile that was already put together, not mixed as the baler did it, but in one pile that then went into the baler. They didn't do that, did they?
Well, at both the baler and the shearer, the cranes would pick up from several piles of scrap material at the same time and place that blended mixture into either the shearer or the baler. So that there was mixing and blending prior to the time the scrap material was ever inserted into either the mixer or into the baler or the shearer.
Isn't that the issue? Because for the earlier audit period, the statute said in a receptacle. Subsequent audit period, the receptacle language was removed. It wasn't mixed in a receptacle during the early audit period, was it, in accordance with what Chief Justice is talking about?
No, that is correct. The receptacle, if you refer simply to the receptacle, of course, it would be the baler or the shearer.
Mm-hmm. Then how do we read out of the statute the words in a receptacle?
Well, because I think the transformation and conversion, at least under the older law, occurred at the time the materials were mixed and blended. That requirement was not being placed in the receptacle. the requirement of the old law was when this transformation and conversion into a different state or form commenced. And I believe that, and I'll jump right into the case that I know has been cited in several instances in the task commission's brief, which is the Burdenstein case. And there, although the task commission seems to think that that supports the board's decision and their position, there, this court held that a perennial conveyance system was not exempt because it was only used to convey blended or mixed granules to the point where the final product was produced. And I pointed out in my brief, and I'd like to just repeat one sentence from the court's decision, and it says the contention of the appellant that the manufacturing process begins at the point that granules are blended would have merit of elevation manufacturing blended granules.
Short of, in all these cases, we've had so many of them, short of exempting everything or exempting nothing, is there any way to solve this problem? I mean, for us to sit here month after month and say, well, is this manufacturing or it isn't because the cranes are used or the trucks are used to haul the raw materials, isn't manufacturing mean integral part of the manufacturing process itself?
Well, I certainly would like to assert that position, but I'm fearful of doing so because I know this court in the past and the old manufacturing distinction is consistently rejected. So, in any approach, I'm certainly not advocating that that be the decision of the court in this case. But I personally believe the new manufacturer sales tax exemption, as it applies to use taxes, is reasonably clear when it talks about the commitment to the manufacturing process.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively clear here that when the statute says that repairing raw materials by blending, mixing, treating is applicable to the facts in this situation, because I think that's clear, at least I believe in this case it's clear, that mixing and blending scrap material to achieve its density and chemistry that's required of the customers who purchase the marketable products is clearly under the statute an exempt activity and is the beginning of the manufacturing operation.
You're talking about the statute during the second audit period?
Yes, the statute during the second part of the audit period.
I'm sorry, Mr. Clevenger. I didn't understand your answer to Justice Douglas's question about the phrase in a receptacle. Do you say that phrase is not in the early audit period? Is that is it met here? And does it need to be met?
I don't know. I'm sorry. No, I do not believe it needs to be met in the earlier audit period. And that was the reason that I was referring to the decision, because if you're blending and mixing raw materials to create a product, and the blending material achieves the consistency, the chemistry, the density of that product, which you're then a marketable product, which you're selling to steel mills and foundries, then to me it seems clear that that's a manufacturing. That's a transformational conversion. It's not just one piece of scrap, two pieces of scrap.
The question is the phrase in the statute, the language of the statute, what is that not meaningful? The phrase is in a receptacle, isn't it?
I may misspeak when I say that, but I believe that the phrase in the statute which is committed or which is blended in a receptacle was as a result of a decision by the Supreme Court. At least I believe that was the case, and they wanted to clear the law with respect to when was the commencement of the manufacturing period.
Which means what? I mean, how does that help your client? If it's in there because it came from a Supreme Court or not, it's in there?
I believe there may be instances in which a different type of manufacturing operation may be able to assert that their mixing and blending, which is different from what is present in this case, might be exempt under that particular phraseology. But I don't think it's necessary in this case, because I think here we are not relying upon the fact that it's put into a receptacle, and that is a commencement of manufacturing. That's not our position. The position is that manufacturing begins prior to that time, because the cranes mix and blend the various raw materials. I'd like to focus, if I may, a little bit, just as Douglas raised the issue of are we going to be plagued with numerous cases under the new manufacturer sales tax exemption, and I would be quite candid to say that I think that's probably the case. It's been that way for 50 years under the old one, and I suspect it's going to be 50 years under the new one. But what I will say is the new exemption, I believe it's fairly straightforward and fairly clear in states. And there's very little, if any, judicial interpretation operative words and the most important phraseologies in the statute applied here are the manufacturing operations defined in 5739.1S, and that says manufacturing operations, leaving out some work, includes preparing raw materials and parts by mixing, measuring, blending. Then the tax commissioner promulgated a rule, a very lengthy rule, regarding his interpretation of what the statutory provisions meant. And in the Ohio Administrative Code 5703.921b1 provides that the point of commitment, and this is the point where manufacturing begins, is the point where the materials or parts have been mixed, measured, blended, heated, cleaned, or otherwise treated or prepared for the manufacturing process, whichever occurs first. There are a whole lot of words there, but I think many of those words apply in this situation. Scrap metal is prepared by mixing and blending to achieve a certain chemistry and density of the product, which is required by the steel mills and by the founders who purchase this product for use in their furnaces. The mixing and the blending, and I was trying to think of an analogous situation, and this may be poor, and I apologize for my choice, but if the board's decision, the tax commissioner's position in this case is upheld, it seems to me that the manufacturer of, and I don't know if this is a brand name, but Raisin Bran, which I think is a Kellogg forms like the Raisin Bran. If the company takes raisins and cereal and mixes it together, under the board's decision, I believe the tax commission's decision, that's not manufacturing. Because you still have raisins and you still have cornflakes. And you put them together and there's been no change, no transformation in the product. You still have two separate parts of a box of cereal.
Honestly, along that line, I just happened to watch
with a few cases that address this issue, primarily for appeals cases. transformation of manufacturing process and scrapyard operation begins in either the crusher or where raw material scrap is baled, is crushed into a bale, or in the scrap.
That's packaged.
No, the bale is not in package. The bale is the steel itself. It's not wrapped. The bale is what they call the steel that's crushed.
You don't bale it until it's all been separated.
Just finally, what you do is in the baler, the crane picks up various pieces of raw material, drops it into the box attached to the baler.
What would you call a part of the process where you take an automobile and you start pulling it apart and take out the plastic? You take out the cast metal, and you segregate the various components so that they can then be bundled or baled or whatever the process is. What is that?
That is possibly some scrapyard operations do perform that type of function where they will tear apart certain bodies, and that would be part of the main head of the process if the scrapyard did perform that activity. The cranes at issue in this case did not perform any such activities. The only involvement the cranes had in this case was to load the scrap that was already in piles into either the baler or the shredder, the shearer.
I understand that. How do you suppose that scrap yard piles? Did you just walk into the scrap yard and segregate the piles, or did somebody?
Not at all. The crane, the scrap comes into the scrap yard usually by truck. It is dumped in various locations. In this particular case, it's dumped at one of four locations. Either the sorting area, which is basically a mix of scrap that comes in, it's not suitable for any one of the three other operations, the baling operation, the shearing operation, or the blending operation. Other scrap that may be a load that may be all suitable for one of these other three operations may be dropped in piles next to the machinery equipment on it, or in the case of the blending, in the blending area. The cranes in the sorting area, in this case, they would go through the scrap that's been dropped in that area and separate or sort that scrap. The scrap that needs to go to the baler, the scrap that needs to go to the shear, and the scrap that needs to go to the blending area. It then picks that scrap up, puts it in a pan, big pan that's carried to that area, generally by forklift. Then, at the baling operation, the crane would take material and go over to pile number one, pick up some from pile number one, move over to pile number two, using a magnet, pick some up from pile number two, and maybe go to through a third pile or fourth pile, pick up a load, and drop it into a box attached to the baler. And as Sims witness testified, it doesn't make any difference what order it's picked up in or what order it's dropped in. It's dropped into the box, the doors in the box close, it tips up, and the material slides into the baler. The baler then compresses that scrap into a bale. The bale is then kicked out, it's picked up.
I understand all that. I'm interested in the front end of this operation. Where you have scrap that needs to be sold, this is suitable to go in here
and
somebody has to sort that out, pried apart, busted up,
In this case, there's no indication that anything is done to that scrap other than picking it up and moving. There's no evidence whatsoever that the cranes in this case perform any activity of carrying scrap.
No, I understand that. You really take it for granted.
I understand this.
No, I granted it doesn't tear something apart, but somebody does that. So my question is, do you have manufacturing, and then does manufacturing cease for a little bit while the cranes get in there? Is that your position?
No, justified, it's not. In this case, my position is there is no change in state or form of any of the raw material until it goes in the baler or in the shear, because there's no evidence that there is any activity with respect to the scrap that comes in.
Just all sets there in piles.
That's correct. A big IV may be moved in one pile, cuttings may be moved in one pile, but there's no evidence at all in this case that any change in the scrap is performed or seen until it actually goes into the baler or into the shear.
But without that first process, nothing gets started.
The sorting operation?
The operation where you say nothing changes.
Yes.
With or without that operation, nothing would ever get done.
Well, isn't that a
part of the manufacturing process? The first end of the beginning of the whole thing?
Justice Sweeney, I would assert that the manufacturing process, by decisions that is supported clearly in the statute, begins when there is a change in state or form. I agree that sorting the material, moving it to the pile by the baler, the shear, and so forth, is a necessary activity for manufacturing process to begin.
Well, maybe it should.
But as this court has said, and as the statute specifically states, after its amendment in 1987, the fact that an activity may be essential to the manufacturing process doesn't make it a part of the manufacturing process.
Doesn't make much sense, though, does it?
It does, Your Honor.
Why? Because
the exemptions are to be very strictly construed, because the more things you exempt, the greater the burden on the other taxpayers in the state to make up the difference.
In your opinion, was the primary use test, was that appropriately buying and sharing portion of this operation?
Well, Justice President, I think the primary use test was properly applied to all the cranes. The problem was that the cranes were all used interchangeably, so it wasn't able to determine, okay, there are X cranes used in the shear operation, therefore let's look at its primary use. X cranes used in the baler. The witness testified that they were all used interchangeably, and he admitted that the company had no reference whatsoever as to the use of those cranes.
So there's no way that could be determined.
That's correct.
The evidence presented.
That's correct. Mr. Sims himself admitted during the cross-examination that the company kept no records whatsoever on uses of any specific cranes and specific activities. The only exhibit they attached was for a period 2 years later, and it was the information on this was quite vague in general as to specific uses and gave no indication of location of those uses.
Isn't the problem that's being discussed now one of terminology? You are using the old terminology, and from all of our old cases, going way back 10 or 12 years that I remember, the word you want to use is transformation, because that was our key word when we took cases that they were taking marble off of or limestone off of the walls of quarries and those sorts of things. You want to use transformation. But transformation is not the only criteria now, isn't it? Mixing? Mixing is enough?
Justice Douglas, I think if you look at the definition of manufacturing operation in the new law, under 573901S, and the definition of manufacturing under the former law, under 573901R1, the term is virtually identical. And the new definition of manufacturing operation refers to transformation into a different state or form from which they previously existed. You're correct, it does also...
It also talks about mixing, though.
But so does the old law.
Yeah, and I think that's what Justice Pfeiffer and Justice Sweeney were getting at. Isn't some mixing go on before... conceding there's no transformation. The mixing goes on, and then when it comes out of the mixing process, then the cranes haul it someplace else, and that's the primary use test that Justice Resnick's talking about.
Well, let me address that. First of all, again, to distinguish mixing from sorting. Sorting is the opposite of mixing. The sorting operation separates the scrap. It separates a bunch of scrap into piles that are usable in the various operations. So the sorting activity, in my mind, clearly wouldn't constitute mixing or blending. It's just the opposite.
And clearly no transformation at that point.
No transformation whatsoever. What Sims refers to as mixing or blending activities, I assert is clearly not mixing or blending under the terms of the statute. What they do in both the baler operation and in the shearing operation, there are several piles in front of these pieces of equipment. The crane with the magnet simply goes to one pile, picks up a certain amount of of a material out of one pile, circa out of another, and maybe one out of some out of a third or fourth. If that magnet picks up that material, the crane goes over to the box attached to the baler or to the table attached to the shear and drops that material in.
Why does that not comply with the sort of catch-all phrase in S, or otherwise committing such materials or parts to the manufacturing process? What does that mean?
Well, I think it's a fairly vague term, unfortunately, but I think you have to go back and look at the series of words before it. Mixing, blending, activities that actually perform some act upon the raw material that change that raw material in some fashion. I think a perfect example of what is meant by mixing and blending is found in two of the cases cited by Sims. Two Board of Tax Appeals cases, Robinson Ransbaugh in Sterling, China. The argument there was this mixing and blending. In Robinson Ransbaugh, they took three types of clay, mixed it in a transcavator or a piece of equipment, and formed a new product, a new clay body. In Sterling, China, they threw raw materials into a mixing tank, added water, formed a slurry, and created a new clay material. And then they used, in both cases, they used that material to perform further manufacturing. I believe that's what that provision is in there for. If you perform some activity that performs an initial transformation of the raw material, the statute was intended to include the equipment that performed that activity. In this case, there was no transformation whatsoever of the scrap. In the shearing operation, they may pick up an I-beam and a car frame. It dropped in. Well, that I-beam to car frame is still an I-beam to car frame. It's certainly not an inseparable item. Until that item is chopped or failed, it retains its separate identity.
But they are committed. They are materials that are committed to the manufacturing process at the point that they're selected by the crane to go into the baler, right?
Just this morning, I would say they're not committed because nothing has been done to them. They can be taken out, dumped back in the pile, and sorted out just like they are in a sorting operation. Unlike the two cases I just mentioned, where the raw materials have changed, you can't go back. You've already performed an operation that's changed those raw materials. In this case, there's no change.
Would you say the same about the word measuring?
I would say if you measure in a receptacle, that is the beginning of the process.
The fact that the crane picks up a defined amount of each type of material to get the final product, that's stretching measuring.
I would say that's stretching measuring, and I think at least until it's in that box or the table attached to the piece of equipment, there would be no measuring within the terms of the statute.
Well, what's the difference between measuring and mixing?
Well, mixing, I think if you look at the dictionary definitions of mix and blend, it really crystallizes this issue. In every dictionary I've looked at, the definitions of those two terms talks about combining materials into a new mass, a new form, that is now indistinguishable, that the raw materials and the new product are indistinguishable from each other.
Well, you are mixing them. You're taking iron and other substances and mixing them together into a new form or a new pile of mixed up material.
I would disagree, Justice Sweeney. Those materials are not combined in any fashion other than both of them are dumped into a box.
But they were
no change takes place until they're crushed.
But they were in three piles, different types of metal in three piles, and they were all mixed together. If you're going to get so hyper-technical, why don't we do that? And when they're all mixed together, it's a different form.
Justice Sweeney, I'm not trying to be hyper-technical, but
what are you doing?
You have to strictly construe the statute. That is a fundamental issue, and I would commend the court to Justice Douglas's concurring opinion in Deneau, which focused on that, it pointed out how important it is to apply that strict rule of construction of exemption statutes. If that is done, that is what would cut down, I think, as Justice Douglas properly noted in that concurring opinion, on all appeals, all the confusion in the area. It has to be strictly construed, and certainly strictly construing the terms mixing and blending. I believe you would have to reject Sims' argument here that the mere picking up of material from several piles and dumping that into a box.
So not until those things that were dumped into a pile
is changed into another form, would it agree with you, with your definition?
That's correct.
It has to be melded or combined in some way where the three piles of metal are changed into one form of metal, and then that would be the transformation that you want.
I believe under this court's decisions, that is what constitutes a change in state or form, and that is the term, those are the terms used in the statute. There has to be a change in the state or form of the product, of the raw materials into a new form.
It doesn't necessarily mean I agree with those cases. If you keep on saying that's what the court says, it doesn't necessarily mean I agree with the court.
I'm not suggesting that, Your Honor.
Okay.
But your contention is that subsection 1 has two sentences and you can't read them separately.
That's correct.
That we can talk about measure, we can talk about sorting, we can talk about mixing, but then after that's done, the first sentence says there has to be for manufacturing or processing some change in state of form or... Pretty clear that first sentence is what you're saying. Transformation,
well,
it has to be some transformation.
That, and also I think you have to look at the common usage of the term mix and blend in the dictionary definition of those terms. They themselves, to me, imply an activity that goes well beyond just picking up two separate items and putting them in something. There has to be a commingling of those in such a fashion that the raw materials that went into the product are no longer distinguished. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Mr. Clevenger, you saved a little over a minute and a half of your time.
I don't mean to be facetious, but I will say that maybe my racist and cornflakes analogy I spoke about earlier is fairly accurate, because I think Mr. Barron's position would be that combining racist and cornflakes is not manufacturing.
Well, let me give you a different analogy. I'm making pancakes, and I put an egg in a bowl, and I use a measuring cup to measure out a third of a cup of milk and a cup of flour, and I put some oil in the measuring cup. Is a measuring cup used to blend the material?
I would say that under the new statute, under the July 1, 1990 effective date of the new statute, I would say that is a commitment to, if you want to talk about manufacturing pancakes, that's what you're referring to, I think it is. That is a commitment to the manufacturing process, and that would be an exempt activity under the new law.
The commitment being when the material is put in the measuring cup, that I could always pour the milk back in the milk bottle, couldn't I? That's Mr. Barron's argument. It's not committed until it's dumped into my blender.
I believe that is the argument being made by the tax commissioner, that the actual blending, mixing, and transformation, whatever you want to call it, which is in the blender itself, that that's the beginning of manufacturing. And that is not important. I don't think what the statute says.
Statute does say transformation. Let me give you another example or hypothetical, and then maybe it'll straighten it out for me. If we asked all the men in the audience here to leave the room, and they all left, and we just had the ladies, the women here, then we invited the men back in. We have mixed the men with the women, but have we transformed anything?
No.
And doesn't the statute say for manufacturing or processing there has to be some conversion or transformation?
And then it goes on to say, and includes mixing, blending, measuring, and probably, and I don't want to bring this up because this will result, I'm sure, in much litigation before this court, will otherwise commit such materials or parts to manufacturing operations. I have no idea what otherwise committing means. I think I do know what measuring, mixing, blending means. I think that's clearly the case.
Well, I think probably that's the reason this case is being argued as opposed to being before the a master commissioner, because while it appears to be a little case involving a few cranes in one business, we're interpreting the new statute, and from now on, we're going to be seeing one case after another that this is all in part of the manufacturing process if we interpret those two sentences separately. And that's really what you're asking us to do.
And I guess I'm not really asking to interpret that particular sentence as a separate matter, because I believe it is part of the definition of what is the transformation or conversion of material into a different state. And I think under the full-blown off, it was perhaps a lot more difficult because it was cast in stone, transformation, conversion. And under the new law, they talk about mixing and blending operations, which perhaps in Genesis under the old law might have been prior to group manufacturing. I believe under the new law, the legislature intended to make it clear that there were operations where the raw materials are committed to the manufacturing operation, and any machinery equipment that's used in those operations ought to be included in the states.
You did not argue, and I assume that you agree that the law is pretty well, settled. The test is not whether the piece of equipment is necessary to the manufacturing process or whatever it is, equipment or whatever. Is that true?
That is accurate. No, I'm not arguing that there are any changes that if it's necessary, we don't want to be necessary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised for a reason.